Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 16. And we'll begin, because it's a long series of verses, texts 26 through 30. And this is Mother Earth speaking to Dharma. And I'll just read the first of these verses, Sanskrit. Satyam shocham dayak shantis tyaga santosha arjavam Samodamastapak samyam ditiksha parati shrutam. In him reside. So the verses, there's 40 qualities of Krishna that are being listed. And the verse, Mother Earth is saying, in him reside these 40 qualities and unlimited more. They're eternally residing in him. Now because the Lord has finished his pastimes, Kali has entered, and she's saying, that's my reason for lamentation. Seeing this condition, mine is Krishna. So, translation, in him reside. So it's a list of 40. Be patient. Mm-hmm. That's one quality. One, truthfulness. Two, cleanliness. Three, intolerance of another's unhappiness. Daya. Four, the power to control anger. Five, self-satisfaction. Six, straightforwardness. Seven, steadiness of mind. Eight, control of the sense organs. Nine, responsibility. 10, equality. 11, tolerance. 12, equanimity. 14, faithfulness. 14, knowledge. 15, absence of sense enjoyment. 16, leadership. 17, chivalry. 18, influence. 19, the power to make everything possible. 20, the discharge of proper duty. We're only halfway done. Mm-hmm. Plus unlimited more. 21, complete independence. 22, dexterity. 22. Kaushalam. Dexterity in all activities. Okay. 23. Fullness of all beauty. 24. Serenity. 25. Kind-heartedness. 26. Ingenuity. 27. Gentility. 28, magnanimity. 29, determination. 30, perfection in all knowledge. That's Krishna. 31, proper execution. 32, possession of all objects of enjoyment. 33, joyfulness. 34, immovability. 35, fidelity, astakyam, same as in Bhagavad Gita, religiousness, fidelity. 36, fame. 37, worship. 38, pridelessness. Anahankriti, no ahankar. Pridelessness. 39, being as the personality of Godhead. So it's, that's Bhagavan. He's Bhagavan. And number 40, eternity. Nitya. Nitya. And many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from Him, the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, Lord Sri Krishna, has now closed His transcendental pastimes in the face of the earth. In His absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere. And so, I am sorry to see this condition of existence. Three and a half page purport by Srila Prabhupada. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into powder, still it would not be possible to estimate the unfathomable transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said that Lord Anantadeva has tried to expound the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with His numberless tongues, and that for numberless years together it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord is just to estimate His qualities as far as a human being is able to see Him. But even if it is so, the above qualities can be divided into many subheadings. So unlimited qualities. For our convenience, here's a sample. And that's within our purview, and those have, and it's not an exhaustive list within our purview, and those have subcategories, what to speak of the ones beyond our purview. So sometimes, why only 64 qualities, or here 40 qualities? It's a sampler. In Bhagavad Gita, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the third quality that was intolerance of another's unhappiness. Daya, intolerance of another's unhappiness. Can be subdivided into two. Protection of the surrendered souls and well wishes for the devotees, which sounds similar, but listen carefully. Jiva Goswami wants us to understand how there's some distinction here. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He wants every soul to surrender unto Him only. And He assures everyone that if He does so, He will give protection from the reactions of all sins. 1866, Krishna says that. Unsurrendered souls are not devotees of the Lord, and thus there is no particular protection for everyone in general. For devotees. Now, that's the surrendered souls get special protection. Now he's making a distinction. The devotees and the fully surrendered souls. For the devotees, He has all good wishes. And for those who are actually engaged in loving transcendental service of the Lord, He gives particular attention. He gives direction to such pure devotees to help them discharge their responsibilities on the path back to Godhead. Come back to that. Well, maybe you'll just spend some time. He expands on it further. by equality 10, excuse me, by equality, that's the 10th in this list, equality. Samya. There's a devotee that lives here. His name is Samya Das. Samya. Indiscrimination between friend and foe. Equal to everyone. Equanimity. Samya. So by Samya or equality, the Lord is equally kind to everyone. So he just made this distinction. There's the non-devotee. Then there's the devotee. And then amongst the devotees, there's the fully surrendered, fully engaged, and unto those Krishna gives special protection. Now, the Lord is equally kind to everyone. Looks like differential treatment. But he's equally kind to everyone, as the sun is equal in distributing its rays over everyone. Yet there are many who are unable to take advantage of the sun's rays. They live in the UK, and it's always cloudy. Prabhupada would comment like that. 360 days of the year, there's no sunlight. Something like that. Anyway. Or somebody just stays indoors. Or they live underground. Or they, you know, live in New York where you don't have any light. No, it just... Anyway, don't take advantage of the sun's rays. Although the sun is there, so it's the how we take advantage or how we avail ourselves to that mercy of the Lord as how we avail ourselves to the rays of the sun. Similarly, the Lord says that surrendering unto Him is the guarantee for all protection from Him. By him. But unfortunate persons are unable to accept this proposition and therefore they suffer from all material miseries. So, even though the Lord is equally well-wishing to everyone, the unfortunate living being due to bad association only is unable to accept his instructions in toto. And for this the Lord is never to be blamed. He is called the well-wisher of the devotees only. He appears to be partial to his devotees. But factually the matter rests on the living being to accept or reject equal treatment of the Lord. So we're in this somewhere in the category of the devotees, because we use that in a very broad sense, but Jiva Goswami is making this distinction. Just like if you were to do a census of all the people in the world, then how many of those persons would say that they're Hindus? And if they're Hindus, or let's just say even they're devotees of Krishna, how many of those who are in the category of devotees of Krishna, even think in our own society, our own ISKCON society, just make the circle smaller. Those who are devotees, you know, this issue always comes up when we speak about membership. Just, you know, a practical thing is, there has been some discussion of late that it would be nice, maybe we'll do it, at least if there's talk about it, of having persons become card-carrying member of ISKCON. You know, they make an annual contribution of X, you know, whatever that is, X something, some number, $10 a year or $25 a year or something per year, something that's just a token acknowledgement, and then they become a card-carrying member of ISKCON, member of ISKCON, with no rights, not voting rights, or just a member. So minus that, just, you know, people that might say, you know, what's your religion? They, you know, Hare Krishna, so that's my religion. But are they in the category of that broad net? How many of those in that broad net are, in Prabhupada's language, accepting Krishna's instructions in toto? So they have some feeling for Krishna. They may be following zero of the regular principles, but they have some feeling for Krishna. They may be chanting zero and reading zero, but they have some feeling for Krishna. So they're devotees. Or Krishna does the same thing in Bhagavad Gita twice. In the 12th chapter, topmost says this, we can't do this, we can't do this, and we can't do this. And if you, you know, even at this lower stage, by following however long, perhaps lifetimes, but one can come to this stage. Or there's another place in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, the very liberal definition of who is my devotee. What's the verse? Pataktvena bahuda vishvato mukham ekatvena. Those are impersonalists. Ekatvena, pataktvena, bahuda, the demigod worshippers. Vishvato mukham, those who are worshippers of the universal form. In a very broad definition, Krishna includes them as his devotees. So if that's considered by Krishna as his devotees, then this point that Jiva Goswami is making, that there's Krishna's a well-wisher for his devotees. And he gives special protection to those who, these two criteria are there. They're engaged constantly in his service, and the other is they're fully dependent upon Krishna, and therefore their mood is the mood of surrender unto Krishna. Because, again, in a very broad sense, we're all serving Krishna. You know, if those who are Uttam Adhikari certainly see that. Everyone is serving Krishna because that's the constitutional position of a living entity. So what living entity doesn't have the same constitutional position as all other living entities? All living entities, they're serving Krishna. Unfavorably? Favorably? But serving Krishna. So everybody's a devotee. Haribol. Everybody's eligible for the rays of the sun. Constitutionally. So the point that he is taking from the Jiva Goswami message is, it's not wrong to say that Krishna is equal, samya. It's not wrong to say that Krishna is daya. He's intolerant of the unhappiness of those who choose the path of unhappiness. But he doesn't interfere at the same time. So again, this third quality, intolerant of another's happiness, Jiva Goswami has taken not the equanimity one, but that one, to say protection of the devotees. Excuse me, protection of the surrendered. And the other is the well-wisher of the devotees. Interesting, huh? Intolerant. So while he's intolerant, he doesn't interfere. You know, if we're intolerant, we interfere. Somebody's just intolerant. They just, you know, go on a rant and a rave, and they're intolerant. Sent an airplane with a lady that was intolerant. Anything what happened and didn't happen. She was ranting and raving the whole flight. Poor stewardess. And then there was all three of them, the stewardess and two stewardesses and one steward came and tried to, you know, just deal with this lady who was just whole flight. You know, it's too hot, it's too cold, my seatbelt. You know, I got to use the bathroom. Let me, you know, I didn't ask for ice. It's the whole, on and on and on. What time are we getting there? And I've got a flight connection. On and on. So that's the normal kind of intolerant. But Krishna is a different kind of, a transcendental kind of intolerant. Like Prahlad Maharaj, seeing the suffering of other living beings, it brings him suffering. Which is very mysterious. The Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Enjoyer, is feeling pain. And he's intolerant because of compassion. That's the idea. And where does that compassion go? For those who surrender to him, he gives protection. For those who just think a little bit favorably towards him, even indirectly, ekadvena pratakdvena bahudavishvatomukam, even indirectly, he's my devotee. Of course, there's more inner circle, or more well-defined, or more narrowly defined, I should say, descriptions of who is my devotee. Therefore, the conclusion, sarva-dharmam prityaja. This one, mam ekam sharanam. And for those who do so, protection. And those who, the subjective side is those who do so feel protected. Like this topic that we've been discussing about loving relationships as one of the essences of Krishna consciousness, because the essence of Krishna consciousness is our loving relationship with Krishna. And it's kind of a, as they say, a no-brainer. It's kind of, it flows from the relationship with Krishna, loving relationship with Krishna, that there's naturally loving relationships with those who have a loving relationship with Krishna. I'll share this with you. From Shivaram Maharaj, he shared with me a little presentation he made on a really simplified version of Rupa Goswami's teaching about rasa. You know, like for people that, there was no Sanskrit words, people that don't know anything. Hungarian people that don't know anything about, you know, Sanskrit terms and, you know, and devotional service. So he put it in really, really simple terms. And where what was heading was, In the worldly sense, there's impure relationships where rasa is disturbed and distorted and hardly recognizable and ghastly. But because we're constitutionally part of Krishna, those tastes or mellows are there. But when they're based upon a wrong understanding of the other, who is the other individual, the object of that affection or action or exchange, then it leads to a disturbed relationship or dysfunctional relationship or a ghastly relationship, murderous relationship, exploitative relationship. And that's not what a relationship is. So then there's a pure relationship where there's a clear understanding of the other individual, as starting with spirit soul. Then he added one very nice component. It's very, very simple, very helpful. That is, a pure relationship doesn't just place the other individual as the object and you as the subject, using the Sanskrit terms Vishaya and Ashraya. It's Rupa Goswami's language. In relationship with Krishna, Krishna is the object of our affection, of rasa, of our service and our expressions of prayer and, you know, what we're giving. And from the one that we're giving, to the one we're giving object, we receive this exchange that's called rasa, because rasa vaisaha, Krishna is rasa. We think of rasa in terms of what we experience, but it's Krishna. We're experiencing Krishna, a relationship with Krishna. Rasa, that's rasa, in the transcendental sense. And therefore, if two individuals who understand this is spirit soul, but the object, the vishaya, is Krishna. Then over here is this ashraya, and over there is that ashraya. And so, from one ashraya to another, our relationship is we commonly accept Krishna as the vishaya. And that's the basis of our relationship. That's the basis of a pure relationship. And when the object, Krishna, is missing, then you don't have pure. And when you don't have pure, then you have dysfunctional, disturbing, distorted, unhappy kinds of relationships, even in this world. So in the spiritual world, that's absent. Purity prevails. And that's our price, or the entry into the spiritual world is accepting Krishna as the object of our love and our affection and our happiness. And when that's there, then there's so many other ashrayas and ashrayas and unlimited ashrayas, unlimited devotees. So we have these loving network of loving relationships with these so many devotees, provided we accept Krishna as the vishaya. So we're so many extensions of that service unto Krishna. And when Krishna sees that, he gives us protection. So within the... So just like you can go into your workplace, or you can go to school, or you can go into the marketplace, or a Sura can go to the yoga studios, and he's protected. We're protected by that network of loving relationships because of that commitment to Krishna. And even over there, that relationship with Krishna is protecting us, and the Sangha of loving devotees is protecting us. It's protection. It's the kind of protection that says, even I'm way over there alone, and no one's observing my behavior, I'm not going to do such and such thing. It would betray that relationship. I'm not going to cheat or be deceitful or dishonest or disloyal to that relationship. I wouldn't do it, because I'm so committed to this relationship, so connected to this loving relationship. It's protection. So we can go anywhere if we're fixed in our relationship with Krishna and the devotees of Krishna. And that's essentially what preaching is. We're reaching out of that loving network and seeing beyond it. Over there in that horizon is there are other persons who also, were they to have that opportunity, if we create the situation where others can look at Krishna as the object of their love, they'll be very happy to accept it, at least gradually. And that's what preaching is. We're just extending that network of loving relationships, or the flow of descending mercy is you just turn the faucet and out it comes. And persons can decide what they want to do about that. Like, you know, jump in or run away. And Krishna says like that in Bhagavad Gita. Those who are devotees, they relish when there's topics of Krishna, the chanting of Krishna's name, etc. And the non-devotees, they run here and there. Just like the sun shining. Some people run under rocks, hide in the underground, or close the door and no sunlight. But the merciful nature of Krishna is he wants to expand that his love and to receive our love and in the form of service and surrender with dependence upon him. And he's not going to let us down. We depend on him and Krishna looks the other way. That's not Krishna. It's not Krishna. It's not a loving person, and certainly not the supreme loving person. Krishna, it's just not in him to do that. He's intolerant of others' unhappiness. Nice understanding. So, in the verse, Mother Earth is saying, because after Krishna's departure, this wonderful quality that is Krishna's, eternally is Krishna's, now that he's gone, this quarrel and dissension influence of the personality of Kali has disturbed everything. He spread his influence everywhere. I'm very sorry to see this existence. Well, this is the age of Kali. And look around and you'll see quarrel, dissension. Outside, inside, and all around town, it's dissension. Is there shelter from that dissension? Yes. So it's describing the storm, there's shelter even within the storm. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhavo sadach shrotra mano viramat. Where not only it's shelter, but abhiram, great happiness, joyfulness. So this golden age within the dark iron age is available to those who take up this light, this manifestation of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted us to distribute this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam everywhere, liberally. Shine the light of the sun everywhere. People can hide, that's okay. Shine the light of the sun everywhere. Give this knowledge to everybody, very liberally. Back to our discussion yesterday, that doesn't mean neglect of assimilating the message yourself, just distribute it. Nor just assimilate the message yourself, don't distribute it. Both the internal cultivation of our own Krishna, receiving that illumination, the message of the Bhagavatam, and in the language of the Bhagavatam, Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti Sadavaha. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti. Internalize the message and deliver the message by your speech, by your actions, by your quality, by your Krishna conscious service. Everything that you do should be this gift unto others, the training of saintliness or spiritual quality naturally has your life is meant for service unto others. That was Lord Indra's argument to Didhi when he was asking for Didhi's bones. Oh, my dear sage Didhi, as you know, any saintly person, their life is simply to make sacrifice for the welfare of others. So Lord Vishnu has said we should ask you for your bones. And that way you can make sacrifice for others. Your bones, please. Because Didhi has said, Indra, don't you know? The dearmost thing to everybody is their body. Who would want to give up that dearmost thing? And then his answer was, oh, Dadichi, saintly persons like you, surely, just their life is sacrificing for others. Yvonne's, please. He said, okay, I was just testing you. And he went into trance and left his body. Behind his body was there, and they took his bones, and according to the indication of Lord Vishnu, used his bones to make this super thunderbolt weapon. Vishwakarma fashioned the thunderbolt weapon by which he could then break the body of Ritrasura, which was like steel. So I'll read. It's 8:30. What's our schedule, Dinishta? Prashanam at 9. What happens after that? And then resume gathering together at what time?
11.
Okay, nice break. Let me read, I'll read one more short paragraph and we'll just then have some discussion. Next is, the Lord never deviates from His word of honor. When He gives assurance for protection, so it does connect with the previous, He gives assurance for protection, the promise is executed in all circumstances. It is the duty of the devotee, of the pure devotee, to be fixed in the discharge of the duty entrusted to him by the Lord or the Lord's bona fide representative, the spiritual master. The rest is carried on by the Lord without a break. Like, you know, not just the protection part, but whatever else is supposed to come. And whatever is supposed to come, it's up to him to decide, but that's his program. Our program is the service program, and his program is the controlling program. Our program isn't to become controllers. You become a nice devotee so you can control better. That's not what a nice devotee is. A nice devotee is fully dependent upon Krishna, and we execute our duties. And as this was mentioned last night, I'll take the opportunity to mention it again. As Krishna is true to his promise, we should be true to our promise. You make a vow, then you follow it. Or even say less strong than a vow, you make a statement, then you fulfill it. You promise to someone or make a declaration, a statement to someone, don't worry, Prabhu, I'll take care of it. And if you say that, you take care of it. You don't, in my growing up in Krishna consciousness, one devotee that I associated with was Vishnu Gada Prabhu. And he used it like at least 100 times. I heard him say, it was one of his favorite sayings, a man is only as good as his word. You give your word, you keep your word. You're not sure you can fulfill that? Don't give your word. You give your word, you fulfill it. Whatever it takes. You know, climb walls and cross the ceiling and on the other side. You make sure you fulfill it. Whatever it takes. And if there's some obstacle, circumstantial, something arises that makes it impossible, you go to that other person that you made the commitment to and you request, not just say, oh, Prabhu, I want to inform you, I didn't do it. Don't do that. Say, you know, I have this challenge and I'm not seeing how, and I feel very badly because I gave my word. This is, you know, this is a character component But for a devotee, it's so important. Like this discussion yesterday also about trust. If someone gives their word and they don't perform, what does it do? It erodes trust. I can't trust that person. And if there's someone that whenever they give their word, they always perform, then there's reason for trust. So these two things, keep your word and compassion. You know, when you show, you demonstrate the feelings that you care about another person. It's one of the 40 qualities that's listed here is leadership. And that's what a leader is. That's, you know, we're supposed to be not just like somebody with a title kind of leader, we're supposed to be devotees. And devotees are leaders. They're acharati shrestas, personalities, demonstrating by our character and our conduct and our behavior what it means to be part of Krishna's family, a representative of Krishna, a responsible representative of Krishna, a person that you can trust because they're a devotee. One of the things that, you know, on the spectrum of what comes to a devotee that's been around for a while, you know, Sura and myself, for example, is persons who are disappointed because they had this trust in a devotee that betrayed their trust. They just show they didn't even care, and they gave the word and they didn't keep it. And it hurts. And what do? At least those that are, you know, attentive to learn how to be a nice devotee, understand this principle. Don't be guilty of that mistake. Because it hurts. It hurts the fabric of our society. If there isn't caring, and there's this behavior that says, you know, I'll tell you I'll do something, and, you know, then there's out to lunch sign hanging. Took a vacation. Nobody home. Oh, I forgot. Don't forget. Perform. Or ask the other person if it just doesn't happen. I just got so much going on. May I be excused from that, or maybe let's find somebody else, or something, or something. Then that shows you care. You're a person of integrity. Krishna's like that, and we're going to be part of Krishna's family. We should follow. It's like character development 101. Be a devotee of Krishna, follow Krishna and his nice devotees. Any discussion? Start here, yes? A general question. Off-topic question? Can we take on-topic questions and then we'll come back to the off-topic questions? Yes. You can't figure out why different numbers of qualities of Krishna?
The next question is like, for devotees, what are the principal characteristics which we need to imbibe?
You want to know what the principal qualities of a devotee are?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's what your question is? It's right in Bhagavad Gita.
And also regarding the numbers, because though there are samples.
Don't worry about the numbers. Don't worry about the numbers. It's just for convenience. It's just a sampler. Here's a sampler box. This sampler box has 4, that one has 40, that one has 26. It's a sampler box. It's unlimited. Unlimited.
I mean, what are the chief qualities of the Lord, and what are the chief qualities which the devotee must imbibe, or for a beginner, what are the qualities?
There's first, second, and then third and fourth. This is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12. The foremost one is complete surrender to Krishna. And that which brings about complete surrender to Krishna is association with one who's completely surrendered to Krishna. I'm paraphrasing. I give you the Sanskrit if you like. And those are the... It's like a chandelier. That very beautiful chandelier. But it's all hanging from one cord, one chain, one fastening position. The one fastening position of all the qualities of Krishna, Krishna Eka Sharana, that's in Rupa Goswami's language. Krishna Eka Sharana. That's the foremost quality. And from that one quality, all other qualities come. But to get that Krishna Eka Sharana, in Rupa Goswami's language, is Guru Padashraya. Shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master brings that manifestation of Krishna's qualities. The devotee's qualities. Krishna decorates the devotee. That's the chandelier. So Krishna Eka Sharana, Guru Padashraya, and all the other qualities. And following back to the 13th chapter, Amanitvam Adambitvam. Humility and pridelessness. Because without humility, who's going to surrender to the Guru? Take shelter. And pridelessness is I've surrendered. I'm a devotee. How about you? You should become a devotee. But you're not. I've got Krishna's protection. So that's the foremost. And all the other qualities are important, but those are the most... Those two nourish all the other qualities. Okay? And you're still on why different numbers?
No, it's like the way when we are trying to meditate, deepening all our qualities of spiritual practice. So, could you go down a bit further on two other characteristics of certain qualities? For me to follow surrender unto Krishna, it's hard to practice daily or to meditate on daily. So it's like...
Well, so if that's what you're asking for, is something that's very simple and easy to meditate on, I would advise these little phrase, humble mood of service. It's packed. Humble mood of service. It implies, unto whom? Service unto whom? But it's implied, you don't even have to add, just humble mood of service. Because you may be serving Prabhuji over here, but in servicing, enduring service to Prabhuji over here, I understand that's to please my spiritual master, knowing that by so doing, Krishna will be pleased. But just keep it real simple, humble mood of service. And it applies everywhere, in everything. In work, humble mood, because it's that person, it's the spiritual master and Krishna. So Krishna is watching. And to connect me with Krishna, there's spiritual master. So I'm doing this thing over here, I'm doing that thing over there. So So in the humble mood of service, it may be I have to be a little assertive. But the assertiveness is not for control purposes. It's a mood of service unto Guru and Krishna. Like Arjuna thought as a humble mood of service unto Krishna. So appropriate behavior for the circumstance coming out of a mood of service, humble mood of service to Guru and Krishna. Just keep it. You want something very simple to focus on? That's a really good one. Okay. Now, here's the generic question. We'll come up. We won't forget. You won't forget. Yes, Paramarupa. Yes, I heard you. So what's your question?
I don't understand the meaning of that quality.
How it applies to Krishna, you mean? It's like the Vedic statement, raso vaisaha. As Krishna is rasa, Krishna is worship. I mean, he is the worship in the sense that you could say he's the object of worship. He is like yajna. Yajna vai Vishnu. Krishna is yajna. Krishna is worship. Krishna is rasa. In that sense. Yes.
After that,
the antidote for familiarity is, that's your question. In a word, it's respect. A nice example is the worship of the deity. We're down here. He's up there, and there's some distance between us. The Brahmin, the pujari, is not, it's right with the deity. Touching the deity, dressing the deity, bathing the deity. That's not distance. That's intimate. And with that intimacy, there must be a consciousness of respect, of I'm worshiping. This is a very confidential form of worship. And one doesn't have that capacity, that purity, and that trained qualification. It should be down here. So only brahmanas should be in that position. Qualified brahmanas should be in that position of worshipping the deity. Because otherwise it's familiarity. So, back to, that's the example, now here's the application. We're in the association of devotees that are great opportunities for us to become dear to Krishna. The risk is familiarity. Just like la-di-da, like, everyday stuff. Not taking into account this is a conduit to Krishna. It's a manifest. This, the devotees are a manifestation of Krishna's mercy so that I can get closer to Krishna, become more purified. So, because I have this tendency to be familiar and take it for granted, let me place the antidote of offering respect. Externally, in formality, in the form of offering obeisances, and externally, in the formality of addressing another as Prabhu. But also internally of not just going through the motions of offering obeisances and saying Prabhu. Like, Prabhu. But with respect. If something needs to be communicated, let's say your wife may want to communicate something to you about, you know, that needs to pay, you need to pay attention to, and she's gently reminding you and you know, not picking it up. So it would debilitate the husband-wife relationship if she started going, Prabhu. So it should be with respect. And then it's the antidote for that familiarity. Or, you know, with your children or immediate Sangha devotees, and then expand it further. Respect. And where does the respect go? Where it goes to the soul. And here's a soul that's attracted to Krishna. Here's a soul that's striving to become surrendered to Krishna. So respect is due. Now, there may be something with that circumstance that needs some attention. So let me do so with regard, proper regard and due respect. It checks familiarity tendency. Yes? If you could speak it louder, I'd be glad to accept. I heard that part. Louder.
By mercy of disciplic succession, we are seeing more and more the reality of this material world. Like you were speaking last 2 days, how things are going in a really dangerous direction in terms of materialistic civilization and so on. So, more and more, maybe to see the reality of the danger. So I'm experiencing different emotions in response to that. One is there is this increased sense of responsibility and wanting to become serious, becoming more connected to the situation. But on the other hand, there's also this increasing sense of fear, being exposed to all this dangerous and crazy conflicts around the world. Like previously, I thought, you know, I was fearless because, but now I understand that.
That was just foolish.
I was just not thinking about it.
Yeah.
So just trying to connect it to your messages about protection.
I can suggest that you adjust the feeling of fear to the feeling of wise caution. Like handling fire. Fire burns. So that doesn't mean don't use fire, because it burns. But when you're using fire, be very careful. Fire can be useful. Fire can be destructive. So we're moving about this material world, and we can utilize things in service to Krishna. But if we're not careful, it can be very destructive. Even in the course of intending to do good, it can be destructive. Harm others and ourselves. We have to be very careful. So it's the yellow flashing light. Proceed with caution, not fear. You're entering into what you know is that means it's a dangerous intersection. Proceed with caution. Doesn't mean, no, I'm not going to go through that intersection because it's got a yellow flashing light. Proceed with caution. And to amplify that or support it, Prabhupada described that it's the nature of a devotee that they're always understanding the risky nature of this material world. Padam, padam, yadvipadam, nateshyam. There's danger at every step. Doesn't mean don't step. Or just be in fear every step you take. But be alert. Be attentive. And seek and feel Krishna's protection. That's another item of surrender, is feeling confident in Krishna's protection. Feeling confident in Krishna's protection doesn't mean, you know, I walk across a super highway at rush hour thinking Krishna will protect me. I'm just his devotee. We don't do foolish things because Krishna's going to protect me. But when I'm engaged in Krishna's service, there's risk. Just in existing, there's risk. So in my existence of service to Krishna, I trust Krishna's protection. And even something may start to happen that looks like, oh my God, look at this. But Krishna's protection will be there. That's a component, a core component of surrender. If I don't feel Krishna's protection, how can I surrender? And if I surrender, I'll feel Krishna's protection. And so it's incremental. The more we're surrendered, the more we're feeling protected. So don't be fearful. You're just being given adequate information or reason for caution. Don't place your faith in happiness of this material world. Don't walk across thin ice. You'll fall in. It's very dangerous. But there are other places where you can go. You still should be cautious because there's reason to be cautious. Redirect that fearfulness to caution and feeling of Krishna's protection as you move forward. Next.
So, one of the incidents that really disturbed me was blast at one of the ISKCON temples in Manipur. So I just couldn't understand the broad protection. Okay, so when we say protection, does this mean protection of the relationship?
Ultimately, yes. Ultimately, yes. And you know, who can say what's Krishna's plan? You know, Abhimanyu was slaughtered. Who can say what is Krishna's plan? Suresh?
You did mention that if someone gives their word and does not perform, if someone gives their word and does not perform,
yeah. Well, it depends on who that person is. Supposing that person is ordinarily trustworthy, then because that person is ordinarily trustworthy, you can either just write it off. It's just something happened. Or you can, if it lingers, you go and speak to that person directly. And if it's an untrustworthy person, you understand this person is not to be trusted. And I can think of a couple people like that. This person is not to be trusted. Their giving their word doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything at all. I'm not going to be blind and think that they give their word. It's going to mean something. I'll proceed accordingly. And, you know, it's good to factor in some kind of compassionate thought. I don't know what the detail is, but there's probably something in this person's past that is prompting them to be like that. They were probably also not dealt with in a trustworthy manner, and therefore you're just replicating that behavior. They must be suffering a lot. But because they're suffering a lot doesn't mean I'm going to put my hand in their head, or my head in their hand. Two qualities of Krishna.
Which is daya, compassion, which is further subdivided, and samya, quality. So Lord Krishna, he is also Akshata, infallible, and similarly his pure devotees are also. So they perfectly are able to apply equality and compassion.
And then the rest of us.
Yeah, so those of us, as you are encouraging all of us to also take part in this mission, what are some of the key qualities that we can have that we are also able to come at least closer to that Mood of Krishna?
The first question that we took up, Harita's question, is a strong answer to that one. That is, suspending any kind of discrimination we may make about what's appropriate in the circumstances, our dependence upon Krishna to be able to see and to act appropriately. And access to that one is through our disciplic succession and our merciful spiritual master. And then, from that one, it's so much depends upon the circumstance. When compassion is appropriate and when strong action is appropriate. I was discussing this the first evening we were together. I find it challenging, especially in the service that I'm doing. It gets because the consequences are significant. The weightiness of decisions are significant and the consequences are significant. But that comes with responsible service. One has to be very careful. So, prompting from... one of my godbrothers was describing when these situations come up, there's like three main areas that he looks to. One of them is just, prompting from Supersoul, which is very much dependent upon purity. And then advice from those who he respects. And he deliberately takes, the conservative, the liberal, and the middle-of-the-road person, not just somebody that will, resonate with the way that I'm leaning, because then you're not... Those that are wise and consult when you have to, have to make an important decision on something, if time permits. And then, examples from Prabhupada's exemplary life. So becoming familiar with how Prabhupada addressed different circumstances in different ways, it's an important exercise for devotees that are taking responsibility. For example, while I'm here in New York, I'm missing a very wonderful, ecstatic meeting in London amongst GBC members who are planning the future of our organization. So the Organization Development Committee. Okay, we have a structure that the exercise is. Let's go out over 50 years and imagine that we have many more devotees and many more temples and many other non-temple-centric service organizations. Now, does the structure that we have today accommodate that? And if not, what are the principles of Prabhupada's instructions that would help us take a look at that structure and think about it today rather than wait for it to happen and design it? So one of their exercises is they took all the legislation related to structure and you know, from a very, very thoughtful compilation of Prabhupada's instructions about GBC and organizational structures. So that's this third item. And then the second, that the first item is others who are very thoughtful and associate with them. Then ultimately, you know, there's the third is just prompting from Supersoul. But we get a group of very thoughtful, well-prepared persons who are contemplating in a, you know, non-selfish manner, thinking about the well-being of Prabhupada's movement going into the future. It would, you know, it would have been a very exciting experience to be part of that, and I'll be doing that when I go to Mayapur for GBC meetings. So I'm with all of you instead of doing that. But what I'm doing here is to help all of you with the things, you know, similar decisions that you may have to make just in your present context. That's all a preparation for growing and eventually taking custody of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness as responsible sons of Srila Prabhupada and followers of Prabhupada. So it's good to have that. You know, Shikshamrita is a very valuable literature because it's what Prabhupada, at least in letters, what Prabhupada said on different topics. So how did Prabhupada view this topic, that topic? I asked some assistance from the devotees in the Potomac area to help with like five or six sections of Shikshamrita. And the feedback I got was, wow, this is really rich. You know, we're really glad that we spent the time going through this. And then and proofreading it to make sure there were no mistakes. So that's an important, one of three important areas of how to make decisions. Leniency or compassion or liberal and conservative. That is, here's the rule. You follow the rule. No exceptions. Sit straight or you're out. You know, at some point, the thunderbolt has to come out. Here's a line. Don't cross the line. If somebody requires that. Both. And organizations break because of too much of this or too much of that. Therefore, it's good when you have an assembly of persons that if you're going to pick a committee of persons, you select some that are here, some that are there, and some that are in the middle. Some that can, you know, look both ways and see value in both ways. Not just, you know, they're wishy-washy, but they can see value in different sides and be in that stay balanced position. And some are, you know, regularly advocating this one, some are regularly advocating that one. That's because that's life, that's the spectrum. And if we're serving a broad community, it's good to have those perspectives when you're making decisions that are going to affect the lives of others. This is speaking, you know, in a broader sense than just like, you know, a particular individual and how do I work with this one person in this one situation. But groups of people are made up of little individuals. Little individual decisions reflect the group, and group, you know, has its impact on the individuals. It's, you know, it takes thoughtfulness, responsible action. This is a theme that's, you know, it's emerging again. I chose to bring it up on Friday. Nandan? How do we do what?
Repair?
You go to the person that you're committed to. It's not, you know, don't just say, oh, by the way, Prabhuji, you know, I didn't do it. Just want you to know I didn't do it. I mean, it's nice that sometimes that information is important because they probably were assuming that you did it. But you can submit yourself to the person and say, you know, guilty with an explanation. I didn't do it. Or before it gets to the stage you didn't do it, you say, I'm having difficulty doing it. I'm challenged for the following reasons. And I don't know exactly what to do because those reasons are also very weighty reasons. So, is it okay to postpone it, or should we look for somebody else, or what, you know, I'm at your mercy. Let's have some discussion about this. Because I want you to know I value keeping my word, and I value you. So now, a dialogue, how to proceed. Better is before the fact rather than, oh, it's past the deadline and I didn't do it. It's respect. The component is respect and integrity. On that side, respect, on this side, integrity. Go ahead.
And then there is fear in committing something that I
cannot do. Be conservative about commitments. And when you make them, keep them. Maybe conservative isn't the right word. Be cautious is a better word. It doesn't weaken. When you make the commitment, you keep it. Something else? Aaron? What's the which position?
The protected and the dependent position when we're trying to make decisions. You know, very quick.
But the primary, there's this thing that the chandelier is hanging from. And that's our relationship with Krishna. That's the protection. And that's the dependence. It's not dependent on the guy at work. It's dependent upon Krishna. It's not dependent upon your own ability and cleverness and whatever else, your skill set. It's dependent upon Krishna. And in that, if that's the place from which, the seat from which you act, you can, so many things can be deployed. Your resourcefulness, creativeness, skills, ability. Not in the mood of controlling or, you know, getting by somebody, but you know, just pleasing Krishna. Try to stay in that consciousness at all times. And try to avoid getting moved by deception, ego, pride, doership, and all those other kinds of coverings of the conditioned soul. Just try to stay in that mood of serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. On this side is my spiritual master, on this side is Krishna, and they're watching me. Now what am I going to do? That guy in the office may think, he's my boss. That's okay, he can think like that, because it's okay. But he's a servant of Krishna too, and these are my masters. Now, there's this, Krishna's giving me an opportunity to serve him. Here's somebody that's thinking, I'm the controller. You better do what I say. Then whatever is appropriate. So different things. But stay in that consciousness. This is this humble mood of service. Haritha? Humble mood of service. I'm a devotee of Krishna. In any circumstance, I'm a devotee of Krishna. Let me cultivate that consciousness. Then circumstance will then determine so many things. What's appropriate? I may want to seek guidance. I may want to, you know, like, think of what the nice examples from Prabhupada. And, you know, those who I look up to and revere. What would they do in this circumstance? That can, you know, be a quick, bring one out of false ego and into Krishna consciousness question to ask yourself. Not that I imitate, but what kind of response to this challenging circumstance might my teacher or my spiritual master or my revered ones do in a circumstance like this? Oh, even to begin thinking like that, you know, clears up a lot of the cloudiness and fogginess and, you know, material consciousness. I think we'll take your question and we'll then go for breakfast. Yes. If there's a what in relation to Krishna?
Attraction.
Okay. So your question is, how do I know it's coming from me and not just groupthink? That's your question. Well, I can give you the answer that it's coming from you. And that's based on an evaluation of over a period of time observing consistency. You know, while there may be at times more illumination, at times there may be more uncertainty and confusion, there's something that's consistent over time. That's an attraction for Krishna. And the attraction for the devotees of Krishna. And Krishna's given you some tests, and Krishna's giving you some strong tests, and that attraction for Krishna is not, you know, blown out of the water. It's attraction for Krishna. And the qualities of the devotees that you're attracted to, the devotees and the qualities of those devotees that you're attracted to, indicate to me, confirm for me, that your attraction is attraction to Krishna. It's coming from you. That in the present stage of your Krishna consciousness, keeping close association, the incubation chamber is important. Staying protected by that association. Time will come without artificially speeding it up and, you know, making it happen. Time will come, likely, for all of, you know, persons that are in their education stage, well, they may very well not have the same capable association or, you know, wonderful sangha. Just like the dear friends that graduated and went off to College Station, Texas. You know, they really value that association. But that which they learned in the association that you're now having, that's helping to sustain them. And their affection and appreciation for those devotees is helping to sustain them. You may also be in a situation like that. So take advantage in a positive sense. You know, utilize that resource very carefully so that another stage, another season, so to speak, maybe when you don't have that atmosphere, maybe winter season, you're off in some remote place, maybe. And then you'll get a closer look at what's inside, as well as appreciating the valuable association that you had and the lessons that you learned during that period of time. Or some situation where you're going to have to be the giver of association for others. Really? Oh no. Poor others. But grow. It's like Prabhupada's example is a little plant or a tree or something like that. You put a fence around it so that it can grow. And when it grows, you can remove the fence. And then it's giving shade and producing seeds that can produce other plants and other trees that can then begin and be a little fence. So it's part of the maturing in Krishna consciousness to know one day I'm going to grow up. One day I hopefully become a mature representative of Krishna and can give shelter to others in course of time. Not artificially, but in a natural maturing stage. So let me learn those lessons now. And it's that, as discussed yesterday, by being a good receiver, you can be a good example giver. And with compassion, with deep care for the other person, by being a good receiver, then that's the eligibility. Just do that nicely and the other comes. By nature's arrangement, when the tree grows strong, it provides shade and fruits and seeds and more trees. Nature's arrangement. Receive nicely. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.